back to Time Is Four Clocks Is Enough Is More Than a Feast, a second annual Bolerothon for CKUT 90.3 FM's annual funding drive.
Welcome. Welcome to Hour 2. You've stuck with the winder of a melody of this Bolerothon for an hour, and by golly, you're here for another hour, and what an hour we've got in store for you. Here, we only have 5 boleros, actually, to present to you this hour, starting things off again with our holding pattern of a snare pattern, which, if this isn't in your head yet, if it's not tapping in your, if your hand's not tapping at it on your keys and your spare change in your pocket while you're walking down the spring streets of Montreal or wherever you may find yourself yet, just wait. By the end of this hour, we guarantee it will have found its way into your body.
For sure. There is definitely a kind of, it's like a... It's like a cellular mania, this song. That's what it makes me think of. It's just really, you stop thinking about that rhythm and it just totally becomes internal, which is funny because it's not exactly a walking rhythm, but it kind of is.
It's a very weird, slow, like stately walk. If you take like the plucks of the orchestra, like which are on the offbeats, kind of as your like walking pace, or if you're gonna take it at double time, it would be a fast, intentional stride. Which probably I think it would be unnatural for me. Yeah, it's a weird tempo. It's not exactly a marching tempo. That's for sure.
I know that the snare rendition is at 72 BPM. So definitely kind of weirdly out of the bounds of walking, or heartbeat for that matter.
That's true. I never really completely considered that until you brought it up, but it is a kind of, it's a little slow or a little fast.
I do feel, correct me if I'm wrong, Danji, but I do feel like your hour of selections, which we're diving into now, there is a bit more uniformity in tempo, perhaps, yeah, than the hour we just heard.
As you said, well, yeah, these are five renditions do, I'd say, hold a little bit closer to the long form arrangement of the original piece, if not one for one, at least in their length. They're all a little bit longer, 10 or 12 or 14 minutes, which, as I've noticed in my bolero digging over the years, the orchestral versions clock in from between 8 minutes to around 16 minutes. So there is a great diversity of tempos, even in performances of Ravel's original score. I'll note that. But however, these selections do kind of run the gamut. We're starting off with Nagoya Marimba Ensemble from Japan. It's a percussion ensemble playing a percussion arrangement of the entire thing. It's quite faithful to the crescendo-like linearity of Ravel's original score. Then we jump into Harold Wynkoem's bass bolero, which is a sort of a interesting counterpoint to the Zappa last hour, diving into a very prog rock but sort of acid jazz tinged version of a very ecstatic and wild kind of out of controlness towards the end, which, although that's not inside of Ravel's original score, it I think does actually mirror the energetic crescendo which Ravel's score does contain. Then
I agree.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to add as well about the Wynkoem bass bolero. I also really thought, especially inside of this 2-hour context, but inside of the context of the piece itself, having this lateral shift in tempo to kind of like a little solo vamp section is like, first of all, not only a very prog rock move, but kind of also has this interesting effect of re-emphasizing this trance-like quality to just hearing this rhythm over and over. It's like, oh, what just happened? Like, we're hearing, like, you know, fusion jazz for, like, 2 minutes or like, a minute or something, and then it goes back in. I thought that, like, really amplifies kind of the effect of the piece itself.
Absolutely. And that recording, that band clearly has fun with it and feels comfortable inside of the world of Bolero as a sort of vamp, as a kind of, like, resting tempo, as a... Everything you say, I think that this... it's a really fantastic rendition, which I think is incredibly faithful to the original while expanding upon it greatly, which is a bit of a rare gem inside of Bolero versions that I'm realizing after now quite a process of digging through the internet and otherwise four different versions. Many succeed in sort of a novelty take on it, or in like a reharmonization, or in a recontextualization, or just say a different instrumentation. However, to actually sort of like expand compositionally as on the original is as well as being faithful to the trajectory and kind of shape and sort of ethos of the arrangement of the original, both is, I think, actually kind of a hard thing to find, and that version, I think, really does it well.
Totally.
We've got an 8-bit Bolero. I don't even know who did this. I found it on YouTube. I wasn't 100% sure to include it or not at first, but give it, if you're unsure as well, give it a chance, because it's actually really, 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 really well done, and I think it may be faithful to the original orchestral score.
It's totally, I have to say, I'm so glad you included it, Angie. I think it is my favorite Bolero in the whole 2 hours. It, again, kind of like the little bass vamp in the other Bolero, it uses the opposite effect, which is no dynamics whatsoever in terms of volume.
That's right.
And it kind of re-emphasizes, again, the trance-like quality of the piece, as well as, like, you realize that it's such a well thought out composition that your mind kind of does the dynamics for you in this like totally monotone or like mono amplitude version. Like it's, you're still on a journey. That melody will take you up and it will take you down. You don't even need people to change volume.
100%. Also, interestingly, that 8-bit Bolero does not include the snare drum vamp, which was an interesting choice. I'm not sure, perhaps constrained by the capacity of their sound card to output different tracks, or maybe it was just an artistic choice, but it works very well and emphasizes the... it emphasizes different parts of the kind of, like, rhythmic and percussive structure of pieces of the score which are not the snare drum vamp. In a way which isn't always well explored, I find. Because the snare drum's really so central to the whole thing. It's quite an interesting thing to notice where the percussive accentuations are when the snare drum's removed, which the 8-bit Bolero, to my surprise, actually revealed pretty well.
I totally agree, yep.
So then moving on, we've got a very, very, very just incredibly... intelligent and creative take on Bolero by Ryuichi Sakamoto. It's called Bolerish, and everything that you might know about Sakamoto and his music from the Yellow Magic Orchestra to other projects would hopefully give you a hint of what's to come. It's not an actual rendition of Bolero, but it is an incredibly faithful rendition of Bolero nonetheless. Maybe I'll leave it mystically cryptic like that.
Heck yes.
And closing thing off, we may as well end with a very funky, weird, old, 100-year-old Fehrbeck 115-key concert organ, kind of all the bells and whistles of an old calliope or a music box included in this, as well as some out-of-tune reeds kind of wheezing and hissing and under the pressures of the anti-entropic crescendo of Bolero as it almost sounds like the poor thing's about to fall apart into a big cloud of smoke and cartoon collapse at the end of this, which will bring us to the end of this this entire episode.
I thought that was a perfect way to end it, Angie, because I really feel it does capture kind of something closer to the time piece of music was composed, and just really how sort of, I don't know, forward thinking, and you know, like, I mean, there's a mechanical element to it that even on a, you know, contemporary mechanical instrument is like pushing its limits, you know. So and that cartoonish imagery is like totally, I can't hear that version of it without it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, this installment of this Holarathon is a special edition coinciding with the CKUT funding drive, which is ongoing. It started a week ago, last Thursday, March 18th, and runs until Sunday, March 28th. The goal for the year is $25,000. It's been a challenging year for everyone, of course, but the programmers at CKUT have been resilient and like steadfast throughout, continuing to adapt to the remote circumstances of operations, from home studios to live streams to pre-records to guest mixes. We can't wait to get back into the studio, but until then, we are continuing to make do with the best. Check out CKUT's social media pages on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. There are a lot of interesting little stories and photos of many different radio hosts sharing their process and their home setups that they've been broadcasting from over this last year, which is quite heartwarming and amazing to notice the amount of work that's poured into this radio station from a incredibly vibrant and diverse community of people who just volunteer their time and effort to make it tick. With a very small staff and a very tight budget running the overhead of all of the logistics and the basic necessities to keep the broadcast on air. So please continue to support this freeform radio station, highlighting under and misrepresented voices and perspectives for the past 30 years, and let's move it for another 30 years forward to help campus community radio keep thriving in Montreal. If you've got any extra dollars to donate, you can do so at ckut.ca or call in during office hours sometime over the week to discuss something with a staff member at 514-448-4013. And thanks for supporting by listening or spreading the word, even if you don't have any spare money at this time. That's totally understandable. Sowing the Seeds of Grassroots Change is the name of this funding drive, and this community radio station really does insert itself into that process of sowing the seeds of grassroots change in Montreal and across a really incredible bunch of different initiatives and efforts and other fundraisers and other news sources, interviews, live streams, stuff that you really can't find or hear anywhere else. talking about pressing, urgent issues that are of great concern and importance to local communities in Montreal. I don't know what Montreal would look like without it. I don't even want to think about it. So let's keep CKT alive.
I 100% second that, and, you know, certainly at this time, I think that, I'm hoping that, with the way that the world has been shifting, obviously, through the internet, our focus is going to become very global, but I think that a lot more people through lockdown are really thinking about all the kind of local initiatives, the local businesses, and, you know, local hubs like CKUT, and thinking about what they really mean to the immediate kind of place that they live in. So do what you can to support the station. Keep listening. Stay tuned. And thank you so much for joining us for another Bolerathon on 90.3 FM CKUT Community Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
to discover. I imagine there are other recordings of similar typed organs or calliopes or music boxes. We'll have to dig into that for the next installment of this Bellerathon when we continue. I don't want to stop. This has become too much fun. I know that a lot of people have enjoyed listening to the last one and are excited for this one. I hope we lived up to the hype. And Destiny, I don't know if you're down, but I'm in to start assembling the track list for Hilarathon 3 whenever we put our minds to it.
Same, for sure. Like, Bellerathon forever.
Shame.